Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I don't know if you probably have heard a phrase similar to this, you know, kind of like keep your eye out. You know, that kind of means watch, you know, observe. If you have somebody taking care of something for you, you know, maybe your wife is stirring something on the stove and they got to do something else and they say, come over here and watch this. It means there's other stuff going on and you might be on your phone, but while you're doing that, that's got to be peripheral because you got to watch this, whatever this is. Keep your eye out, you know, watching you. I remember when my daughters, you know, went from just having friends to, well, now, you know, it's one friend that's coming over. And it's a guy. I remember navigating through those days. They were fun. There's some of the stuff I would have liked to have just skipped, you know. But I remember them being around, or we'd have a bunch of their friends over, and I'd act, you know, normal. Well, normal for me. Let me make it clear. You know, normal for me. And while I was doing other stuff and talking to people, if there was a particular, trying to think of a kind word for these boys. Anyhow, these boys. I keep an eye out. Though I was doing something else, I was watching. I was paying close attention. Okay? Of all these unworthy characters. You know. And didn't matter what was going on or what I was doing. I was paying close attention, though they may not feel it. It's not like I followed them around the house and was looking over their shoulder and, you know, had my hand around their neck like I wanted to do, you know. But I watched closely. It's what we do, right? And I don't know the context that would get your attention in your life where you've been, hey, watch this. Keep an eye out. Keep an eye out for that person. Or watch this. Or whatever it is. But there's a scripture that talks about us that we should be able to do this specifically over our own life. So I'm going to have them put up a scripture verse here from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. And you can glance at it right now. And I'm just going to slowly walk through this. And just trust that, you know, maybe something will get our attention. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Watch your life. Just say this with me. My life. My life. Not their life. Not someone else's life. Your life. We're supposed to watch our life closely and our doctrine closely. These are two separate things, but I want you to know that they go together. These two things go together. You know, we really try to pride ourselves, every church kind of does, try to pride ourselves in, hey, we believe what's right. And from church to church, sometimes that varies. They don't agree on every doctrine, okay, everything that the Scripture says or how to interpret it. And so people take a real pride in, hey, I believe what's right. And, you know, we just carry it out like a law. And I want you to know that what proves that our doctrine is sound is only if it's based upon what we're supposed to believe and what we're told in the Scripture. You see, we live in a time, and have for a long time, probably forever, but we live in this age, and so it's relevant to us that it's very easy for you and I to add some of our own human philosophies from what we've experienced in life, from our history or our past, and we try to, you know, draw some conclusions because, you know, by nature, we always like to have answers. And when something goes on, I got to have answers, or I got to figure this out, or why did this happen? Or why did this happen to me? Or we use things like, well, I've got to have closure, so I have to understand all this. And so we try to come up with reasons that seem good to us and satisfy our soul so that we can feel like we got it figured out. And sometimes we use those things, and they're not based upon Scripture and how we're supposed to walk through those times in our life. And so we take those things and we blend it with Scripture, and then we think that we got it figured out. And yet some of those things and the way we figure things out are not in agreement with His Word. You see, it's more than just believing right mentally, and that's important. We're supposed to watch our doctrine closely, but it says watch our life. And if we only believe right academically, and the truth of that doctrine doesn't impact us to have an experience with the one who's given us His Word, we miss out. We miss the spirit of the commands. We miss the spirit of the law. We miss the spirit of the Lord. We start to focus on, you know, the rules listed on the list or on the wall or on the plaque, and we think it's all about the rules. And we forget that it's about relationship with Him. Because if we just follow the rules, if we just believe right and it doesn't impact our life and change the way we live, I want you to know that it's empty. Just believing right is not enough. It's believing right, watching what we believe closely, but watching our life. And does our life, as a Christian, does our life match what we say we believe? Or is there a great gap between what we say we believe and we know we believe right, and yet our life does not speak the same as what we believe? We can use it any kind of scenario, but let me throw this out to you. Let's say some bad events unfold in your life. There's been a sequence, you know, something happened, another thing that we call bad happened, and another thing happened. And sometimes as Christians, we just start to go, well, I don't know why all this stuff is happening. Maybe I just made too many mistakes. I'm paying for my sins, and therefore they caught up with me, and all this bad stuff is unfolding and happening in my life. And I guess, you know, there's just no chance of hope. I'm tired, I'm wrung out, I'm down. All this bad stuff happens. It's just because of my sin, and it's just the way life is. Well, I want you to know, biblically, that could be true. I mean, we know that when we sin, there has some consequences. At the same token, bad things could happen to us that have nothing to do with our sin or our mistakes. It's just called living life here on earth. You know? Rain, you know, the Scripture says, it rains on everybody. Whether you're just or you're unjust or you're holy or unholy, it rains on us all. It's part of living this life here on earth. And part of it is, you know, stuff happens. Difficult things happen. So it might not be because of your sin that these things happen. It could just be life. Oh, my car broke down because, you know, I'm sinful. Well, maybe, but maybe not. But we might believe that these bad things are happening in our life because of stuff we've done wrong. And what if it's not true? What if these things just happen because we live here on earth and we all have trials and difficulties of all kinds of things, of great scale to small things, and it just happens. And yet we're caught believing that, you know what, this stuff happened to me because I'm bad, I'm no good, God doesn't love me, there's no hope, I'm just tired of this. What if we tell ourselves that and it's not true? Because the doctrine we believe is that God loves us even when we sin. And there are consequences that we deal with from doing things wrong. We all have probably a long history of it. However, these are not payments for my sin. Because the scripture says, I could never pay for my sin. My sin's too great. But there is somebody else who paid for my sin. I mean, you know, Jesus hung on a cross so that I could have forgiveness. So that's the truth. But from my experience and how I feel, I start to come up with my own idea and blend it in, and now I'm caught believing something that isn't even true. God loves me regardless of my performance. Is he pleased with all my performance? No. But that doesn't change his love for me. So here I am thinking all the stuff that's gone wrong, all of it's my fault, I'm no good, God doesn't love me as much as somebody else, and you're condemning yourself. Well, it says for those who believe in Christ, there is no condemnation. Well, yeah, but. No, there's no yeah, buts. Do we believe correctly? And if we do believe correctly, are we allowing what we believe to drop into our heart that we can now discipline our thoughts to think right, and when wrong thoughts are coming, we can arrest them and not give them the ability to influence us? But I bring myself back to watching my doctrine closely and watching my life closely, and is my life, is my mind, the way I live, the way I act, how we talk, how we say things, how we do relationships, how we work, all of these things, are they connected, and do they prove what I believe is right? I meet with people all the time. Obviously, you know that. They sit in my office or over a cup of coffee or wherever I meet with them. Meet with people all over the place. And I will hear them say things as if they're true. And I'm going, wait a minute. That's not even correct. That's not even in the book. I like what fellow said this midweek study on Wednesday nights. He was in a small group. I sat down in that group for a while. And he just said, hey, and I'm paraphrasing, if it's not in the book, you know, we're kind of thinking about this stuff in vain. You know, this book tells us how to live life, how to manage the attitude of my heart, how to deal with things when people hurt me or take advantage of me or whatever, and how to walk through that. Because I'm watching my doctrine closely. Now, the only way that we can watch what we believe, catch this, this is really profound. I'm being a little sarcastic, but it is profound. The only way that we can watch our doctrine closely is if we know what's in here. I mean, I sit with people sometimes and listen to them, and I will ask this simple question, and not out of criticism or being judgmental, I'll say, Now, why do you think about that way? Where did you hear that? Where did you get that from? Well, I don't know. I said, that's not a good enough answer. Because if that's what you're believing, you have developed that thought or your reasoning somewhere through what you experienced or what you heard, and now it's so deep in your soul that that's what you believe. And what you're saying is not accurate with the scripture. So now you're believing something that isn't even true, and you've applied it to your life. And you and I wonder why we have trouble. The only way that we can watch our doctrine closely is to know what's in here. Now, if you're a newer Christian, you get a pass for a while. It's all new to you. How can you know this? How can you know much of it? It takes time to read it and learn it and apply it to our life and discover this relationship that, you know, God isn't just out there somewhere, that Jesus got personal for us. He's for us. And we start to discover that watching our life, that this is personal. This isn't just a bunch of rules and a bunch of doctrine. This is supposed to be doctrines and things that impact my life and change who I am and begin to, you know, change how I do things and how I think about things and how I process things in this life. Watching our life and our doctrine closely. Paying attention, keeping an eye out. Keeping an eye out on our life, whether there's an audience of other people around or not, whether we're by ourselves. Watching our life closely, watching, do I have something in here in the way of resentment or unforgiveness or, you know, something? Am I watching my life closely? Because His Word tells me how to work through forgiveness. It shows me what resentment does. And I don't want that. So here I am, if I know that's in here, I can learn what it says, He'll help me understand it and apply it to my life, and now I get to watch my life closely and see that it matches my doctrine. Here's the catch. If we begin to live our life that way and persevere in these principles of looking at my life closely, look at your life closely, pay attention to what is in here, that it wouldn't be just something I know intellectually, but I know it because it's part of who I'm becoming and part of my relationship with Him. And now, I don't only believe correct, I start to live correct. Believe right and begin to live right. And now, all of a sudden, the believing right is not empty. It's not just some rules. I catch the spirit of the one who wrote them. I don't want this Christian life to be empty for people. And it's not because Christian life is empty. It's that we don't watch our own life closely and allow our life to pick up and apply and sink in what we know to be true. What do you believe about you and your life? Do you feel like I'm too broken? I've done too many things wrong? I've been hurt too much? I was abused or misused, and therefore I'm broken, used goods, and what value do I have? Really, are you letting all of that define who you are when you have somebody who loves you and knows how to heal you, and that your life can be better than you thought? That your future doesn't have to be the same as your past. That broken relationships in the past don't mean that you have to have broken relationships all your life. You see, we start to believe wrongly in things that we have deduced in our mind because we tried to figure it out or look for an answer. And I'm telling you, don't mix those things with the pure truth. Because here's the reality. If we persevere in knowing what's in the book and understanding that it comes from the Lord and it's supposed to, you know, change my life and change my heart and the way I live and the person I become, if I persevere in that, it says that in the end, I will save myself and those who hear me, those who hear you. I don't know, let's put it in this context. Maybe you're a parent. And if you will take time to know what's in His Word, and you'll think about it and and you know, ask God for help to, how do I put this in my circumstance I'm in, or how do I get that attitude and help me out? And you have this living relationship. Your children will see your life and see that your life matches what you say you believe. Maybe it's your neighbor, maybe it's your friend, your coworker, somebody who has contact with you, and they see that your faith is not about just some rules. It's about how it's impacted your life, and that this faith you have is real. And that when circumstances are tough, for some reason, you walk through it and you've got a peace in your heart. And they're going, if I was going through that or I've been through that, how in the world can they have so much peace? I can tell you how it happens. It's because we know that he's the Word. And I'm going to tell you just stuff that's in the Scripture. That Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And it says that he gives a peace not like the world gives. See, the kind of peace that the world thinks is peace is the absence of conflict. I've got no troubles right now. Things are peaceful. No. The kind of peace that he gives is that we can be in circumstances that are difficult and still be at peace. Wow. I mean, we all like the absence of conflict. Hey, sign me up. You know, if that's the option, sign me up. But that, if that's the only peace I know, and then conflict comes, and I got anxiety, I'm insecure, I'm worried, and all of this is just eating up mental, emotional energy, I'm getting on that train because I don't know what his word says. Or I may know what his word says, and we go, yeah, but. Well, wait a minute. There's no yeah, buts. It's that this is who he is. And this is how I can count on him, because it tells me. And therefore, I can be in this life, and he can give me a peace that is greater than what I face. Maybe it's not peace for you, maybe it's hope. He can give you a hope that you just can't muster up on your own. A faith, a trust. If we will have a consistency between what we say we believe instead of just believing right, but if we start to conduct ourselves right and be changed to match, I'm telling you that this is a great life because he's great. And it takes a lot of pressure off me because it's on him. He does that. I need to cooperate. There's things I need to do. But they are things that are according to faith and according to his word. And I have to trust him. And he comes through. And as we walk with him more and we know this more, we experience that more. We experience him more. This faith is not supposed to be empty. It's not supposed to be cold and stoic, and it's not just about a list of rules on a wall. And if that's what you think religion is, you're right. That's religion. But Christianity is different. The rules exist. But we catch the spirit of the one who wrote the rules and why they're there. I'm going to read to you something that's a little later, or a little earlier in the same book, but I want to tell you this first. If you were to sum up 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, those two books in the Bible that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, it kind of sums it up in these couple of things. It reminds us that God came in the flesh, Jesus. Father sent his only begotten Son, Jesus. And that he became flesh, became human, didn't sin. That's why he could go to the cross and spill his blood. It was innocent blood that paid for my guilt, your guilt, guilt of humanity. And that salvation, if we know his word and apply it to our life, that salvation is for the life that now is. And also leads us into the life that is to come and that immorality and the eternal life through faith in Christ. It's stated in this letter. But if we know that's true, Paul follows up with this truth. If we know that to be true, therefore believers and followers in Christ should manifest in their life, in other words, the way they live, their attitude, the way they conduct themselves, that belief should cause us to manifest in our daily life in a way that it affects us and gives us the right attitude. It affects how we do our relationships, how we discipline our thoughts, how we don't get on a wrong thought pattern and let it become a runaway train. We know how to stop that, think right, because we know what's in the book. We know the doctrine. You see, now our life is based on the foundation of this, because without this, I've got no foundation but what I think I can figure out or what somebody else might tell me. And it's just opinion and human philosophy. We cannot blend that stuff, even though it tickles our ears and sounds good to us. It's not the life-giving word. And Jesus says some very difficult, God's word says some very difficult things that make me uncomfortable or make me go, ah, bummer, you know? Because my own will wants to be exerted, you know? I want to do this my way, and his ways are different than mine. And it even happened that Jesus said some tough things, and some of those who believed in him and followed him around started to turn away and said, you know, I can't accept this. Their own human thought, they exalted to be better than what Jesus taught and the life-giving spirit of his word. And so Jesus turns, as some of his disciples are leaving, he turns to his 12 disciples, and he says, are you going to be going with them? And Peter, his disciple, says, Jesus, where are we going to go? You have the life-giving words. You have the words of God. Whether my flesh likes what I'm hearing or not, at this point in my life, your words bring life to me. They're not just rules. It's not just doctrine so that we can believe right and take pride in it. I'll tell you what, if we just believe the right stuff and it doesn't drop into our heart and change our life, we will just get arrogant thinking we know what's best. And we get real arrogant and we want to argue religion and we want to argue all these points and we just want to prove that, you know, we're smarter and we believe right. I want you to know that that person watches their doctrine close, but they don't watch their life close. We're supposed to watch our life and our doctrine closely and preserve in this. Persevere, preserve it, keep these things in us, continue to maintain them, and we will save our life and those we share it with. I want to read to you from the first chapter of 1 Timothy. We're going to close with this. End of verse 3. I'll just read verse 3. Paul says, as I urged when I was going to Macedonia, remain to Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrines. Paul's saying, this is the pure word of God. Do not let anybody else teach something different. We live in a world today, there's all kinds of philosophies and things that sound good and things that might appeal to us. Listen, just because they shout the loudest or use clever phrases or wear a, you know, $2,000 Navy power suit with a white press shirt and a red tie, it doesn't make them right. Come on, you've been in disagreements. Just because the person shouts the loudest, it doesn't make them right. Turn to the person next to you and say, that's true. If that was your husband, you know. Anyhow, listen, just because of those things, it doesn't make them right. Listen, just because they're an expert in one field in this life, maybe they're really great at a couple of things. Listen, it doesn't mean that everything they say everywhere else in life, they got it figured out. And if they're blending their own opinion because they love hearing their voice and people around them going, oh, they're so great, they're so great. Listen, if it does not agree with this, it is not sound doctrine. Let the red flag go up and say, I need to watch this closely because this is what's going to edify and build up my life. Paul goes on, he says, listen, don't allow them to teach different doctrines. Don't devote, because they devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculation rather than stewardship from God that is by faith. Listen, you might be going through a struggle or difficulty and you just come out and you say, you know, It's just kind of a generational thing. My parents struggled with this. My grandparents struggled with this. My great-grandparents struggled with this. I just come from a long line of, you know, whatever you struggle with. Listen, I know it talks about generational stuff, but wait a minute. What is the greater truth? That when we put faith in Christ, we become a new creation. We are born again of the Spirit. Guess what? I just got a new family tree, and it starts with God. The generational stuff that I was born into no longer has power when I believe the truth, but I have to know it's in here. We have to read it. We have to study it. We got to think about it. We can't just go to church. Please tell me that your spiritual life is not dependent upon a sermon that I would give on a Sunday morning. Please tell me that you glance and read His Word during the week, because I'll tell you, Sunday is not enough for anybody, especially if I'm the preacher. You know, I give kind of lean meals around here. So, we have got to be with Him and in His Word. And it's the way we live our life. This whole genealogy thing, listen, in Christ, you're born again. You're born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. New creation in Christ. Old things pass away. Behold, all things have becoming new. Wow, fresh start, new beginning. I remember the old stuff, but you know what? It doesn't have a hold on me anymore. Christ paid for it. Now, if I don't believe that and don't know that it's in here, I'm going to believe, well, I found Jesus and maybe I'll go to heaven. But you know what? I'm still going to struggle with all this stuff because, you know, it's a generational thing. His blood is more powerful than our sin and generational stuff. He gets to set us free. Now, when we know that's in here and we believe right, then we watch our life closely and say, hey, that's the truth. That's what I believe. It's mine. And now this is the attitude and outlook I have. And now our faith is engaged. And now, you know, self-condemnation and, you know, our family saying, oh, you'll always struggle with this because you remember Uncle Joe. He, well, you know what happened to him. You know, it's broken. You're free. That's what it says. If we don't believe it, now we're walking under this, well, I hope Jesus accepts me. I'll keep asking forgiveness, but, you know, I'll always struggle with this because, you know, Uncle Joe. That's just not the truth. And you're not watching your doctrine closely. So listen to this. The aim of our charge, Paul writes, is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these things, have wandered away into vain discussion, talking about other ideas and other opinions. It's all vain. I don't care how good it sounds. The life-giving Spirit is not in it. The life-giving Spirit is from God and in these words. He wandered away in vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they're saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. Listen, just because they're confident doesn't mean they're true. Because people have an opinion, they're confident, and they're smart in a lot of ways, doesn't mean when it comes to life and doctrines, it doesn't make them right. Find out what he says. These are the life-giving words for you and I. Listen to what he goes on. Now, when we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. In other words, the law, the rules, the standards bring death because we can't obtain it. We're too weak. We're too broken. But when Christ comes who fulfilled the law, the life-giving Spirit comes into our life and helps us. And now we don't look at it as just rules. We look at the love of God. We have a relationship with Jesus. And because of that, all of a sudden, Him in us, our life changes. All of a sudden, we are living with His help up to the standard of these laws. It's amazing what happens and how life changes through this process and working out our faith and paying close attention. He says this. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and the sinners, for the unholy and the profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for those who are sexually immoral, for people who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. It's why he's saying, listen, keep that pure. Keep it pure. Watch this. Because there are all kinds of things that can slowly seep into our life. You know how this works. We kind of hit autopilot, and we're not really paying attention, and we're not watching closely, and we kind of think we're all... And all of a sudden, stuff just seeps into our life. It starts small and just kind of seeps up, and all of a sudden, it starts to taint us and fill up, and it starts to affect the way we feel, affects our relationships, how we look at the day, how we perceive life, all of this, how we deal with our history. We're not supposed to leave room for that. In accordance with the gospel, the glory of blessed God with which we have been entrusted. You have been entrusted with this word. Me. I've been entrusted with this. And I've got to understand it and know what's in here and watch it closely so that it impacts my life. And understand and believe the right thing about how He delivers us, heals us, helps us. Brings about great new opportunities, frees us from the past. Listen, I want you to hear this loud and clear. God has a plan for you. And it is not too late, and you haven't messed things up enough, okay, that it's too late. He's got a plan. Prosper you, not to harm you. We harm ourselves when we get lost in our deductions of what we think makes sense when we forsake this.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.